Today's Issues continues on AFR.
And welcome back to this Thursday edition of Today's Issues. Fred Jackson here, along with Chris Woodward, and joined now by Steve Jordahl.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Paisley Jordahl. I'm wearing Paisley today. Tim, I'm wearing it for you, in remembrance of you.
Well, yeah. Just to make it clear.
Yeah, he's fine.
He's fine.
He's fine. He's on his way to a donor meeting, I guess.
Yes, yes. Steve and Ed are away today, so we're calling it a news coup.
There you go.
The news crew is here today. So, but Steve, earlier in the program, we were talking about Biden's election problems. And high on everybody's list when you talk about polling is what's going on in the southern border. Some would say what's not going on in the southern border as far as enforcement. And there's a story this morning. Now, we've heard a little bit about this before. Some are saying there's over 20,000 Chinese nationals now that have come into the country. You may have seen the videos down in San Diego where there's an opening in the fence and they're just pouring in. Some of them have suitcases on rollers.
Yeah.
They don't look like people suffering economically.
I have often taken a look at some of this video that's coming in, and if these people are walking up from Guatemala, they look very fit and refreshed for
yes.
that. That's all I got to say. And with regard to the Chinese invasion at the southern border, if that's what you want to call it, Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, says this doesn't happen at all without the knowledge and permission of communist China. Listen to clip one.
Travels here. And if they're from China, they are traveling here, are they not? At the express...
Okay.
Yep.
That was Laura Ingraham asking the question.
Here. And if they're from China, they are traveling here, are they not? At the express permission of... the Communist Party of China, correct?
Absolutely certain. We know for sure that we don't have any idea who they are. That is,
right?
Not only are they mostly gotaways, but even the vetting that we're doing of them is just a handful of simple questions, and then we release them.
China is kind of enemy number one right now. They're the ones we're looking at as far as threats to the United States, not only the sovereignty, but our economy, technology. They are, at this point, the leading threat, I guess, to the democracies that we have, our supremacy in the world.
You know, it's absolutely mind-boggling when you stop to think about this. Like Mike Pompeo, the former Secretary of State in the Trump administration, is saying, there is no way that these people are leaving communist China and coming here without the express permission of the Chinese government.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the pictures, a lot of them are very healthy, military age, young men. And so you have to believe that amongst these people, and, you know, there have been arrests of Chinese who have been found guilty of spying for the communist government. And so you have to believe that some of them are here not to start a new life in democracy in the United States and to get a good job. No, they're here on mission.
Yeah.
They're here on mission for Beijing. Pretty scary. And like I said, the videos that we've been seeing, Chris, with this, of these people with roller suitcases, mm-hmm. with expensive clothing on, there was a story back a few weeks ago with one of these young men when he came through that little hole in the fence in San Diego, goes and rents an expensive car.
Yeah.
How in the world do you classify him as a migrant looking for a better life?
Right. This is why you can spend just a little bit of time on social media, Facebook especially. I just saw this meme a few days ago. If you're better off today than you were 4 years ago, you're probably an illegal immigrant.
That's not a Babylon Bee
no,
either.
No, I think it was a picture of Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah. Steve?
It's true. All right. Yeah, so I think it's worth mentioning, again, that what we've seen from China. They're the ones that are flying the spy balloons over our country.
Yeah, we don't take them out until they get to fly right across the country.
That's right. We got to let them go all the way across the country. There's a lot of stuff right now going on with Taiwan. There's some elections coming up in Taiwan that people are saying is going to be an inflection point at that country. We are cruising towards, I mean, I know all that the Middle East gets all the press, but we're cruising towards a conflict with China, and that's going to be, that's not going to be, not going to go well, I don't think, at this point with this administration.
And don't dismiss the fact that China understands that we're under stress. We're supplying so much to the Ukraine right now in finances. We're sending military assets to Israel to help them in their war with terrorism. You've got all of this going on, and don't think that the Chinese understand this and they will not take advantage of that.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Staying overseas for a little bit, if we may, do you know that the there's a deal on the table, the potential deal on the table? We're telling the Houthi rebels in Yemen, a terrorist group that we've designated, a terrorist group, that we will take that designation off if they just stop attacking ships in the Gulf of Yemen. They're doing this ostensibly in order to draw support away from Israel. But the fact that we are saying we're negotiating now with terrorist groups saying we'll take your designation away if you just stop, you know, doing this one act of terror, it to me is an astounding act. It's a little bit of a foreign policy debacle is what I would think.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. If you go back to the Obama years, when he sent pallets of cash to Iran. Mm-hmm. Remember that? And I'm not exaggerating here. There's pictures of pallets.
I'll post them.
of cash to Iran to say, okay, this is money that we acquired during sanctions. We're going to give you a chance to make good on this. So we're sending, and I think it was hundreds of millions of dollars in cash. Joe Biden gets elected president. Well, let's talk about after Obama, there was Trump. Mm-hmm. Trump takes out Soleimani and celebrates the fact. Soleimani was one of their chief military people, terrorist organizer, et cetera, for Iran. Trump takes him out. Then Joe Biden gets elected president. And what does he do? He starts removing sanctions from Iran. He wants to open up, he says, a new avenue of communication with Iran. So he starts removing these sanctions that Trump had put in place to keep Iran in check, in particular the development of their nuclear weapons. And so now you have this, I could hardly believe this, that the Biden administration, maybe I was naive not to believe it, the Biden administration now suggesting to remove the terrorist designation from these Houthi rebels.
Yeah.
Somebody was telling me, it was John Riley the other day, who's just back from Israel, right. Our own John Riley. He was saying what a lot of people in this country don't understand. In the Middle East mentality, when you express this kind of weakness that the Biden administration is demonstrating, in the Middle East, the mentality is now's the time to attack.
They only know strength, and it's a whole different cultural mindset. We think that we can negotiate, we'll be kind, let's reason together about these things. But I tell you, the democracy and a functioning democracy has kind of made us out of touch with not only the rest of the world, but the rest of history.
Yes.
Because all throughout history, the only thing that mattered, the only currency was power.
Yeah.
And they take it at the expense of anybody, these human rights, individual rights, they know nothing of those things in many other countries.
Yeah, I mean, this is the same Biden administration saying, hey, we'll take away your terrorist designation. It's the same one that was quick to call Iran a few days ago, hey, it wasn't us. They're worried about optics and retaliation and things of that nature. And some might say, well, you know, he's just trying to protect people. He's not showing strength like other presidents, including Democrats, have in times past.
And that's exactly what we need right now, is a president who will show strength. But you combine that with what Joe Biden has carried out, this invasion on our southern border. Is there any reason, Steve, why there seems to be, and it's being reflected in the polls, that a lot of people are very concerned, not only about Biden's mental state, But they're getting more and more afraid of the safety, of the security of this country.
Yeah. Right now, but Joe Biden is in a tough spot. He's got on his far left, he's got some people screaming at him to cut Israel loose, basically. And then the rest of the country, which actually supports Israel, he's trying to navigate that. But he is not well. He's not his foreign policy. It seems is by fits and starts. Again, like we were saying, it's foreign. It's unknown to any other country. We don't know it. Nobody else conducts foreign policy like this. Mm-hmm. And you got an economy that's in this country that's kind of on edge. Mm-hmm. The polling is not good for Joe Biden, which may be good for Donald Trump, but. We're in an inflection point, I think, is the best way I'd like to describe
it. Well, I think
it.
There's a lot of anxiety. It was really interesting this morning. It was a piece on Fox, and I think they entitled it Bunkers for Billionaires. And it was all about, apparently, billionaires who are now considering ways to survive. And then there was also a commercial on Fox from a company that's basically offering up packages of rations, and they're packaging food that will last for 25 years. Mm-hmm. So it reminds me of going back to the millennia, the 2000.
Oh, Y2K.
Y2K. Yeah, yeah. But this was a commercial on Fox and showed, you know, meals that are packaged in such a way that will, you know, 25 years, this food will last in these packages. And I'm thinking, you know, it's kind of interesting. On the same day, you have these bunkers for billionaires, and now you have this commercial for packages of food that you can buy to survive. So you've got a nation who's now starting to talk more and more, how can we survive what's going on? Is it any wonder why this administration, Chris, is underwater when it comes to the polls that we're seeing?
Yeah. The bunker thing makes me think of the stories I've heard. I'm not old enough to remember this, but I've actually been in one in the area where I'm from in Mississippi. But back in the '60s, when you had like bomb shelters,
yeah. Oh yeah,
that was a place not far from where I'm from. That was a home. It was basically several tubes that were all connected to one another, and it was inside this giant mound of dirt out in the boonies. Spent some time inside that as a teenager, and it was kind of creepy.
Yeah.
There was a movie with Brendan Fraser and Chris more cowbell guy.
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken, where they thought that there was a nuclear attack on. They went down into their bunker, and they sealed it for 25 years because that's how long the
radiation... Blast from the Past was the name of the movie.
That's how long the radiation was going to be in the atmosphere. Yeah. It turned out it was a plane crash nearby, but they ended up being down there for 25 years without knowing that the rest of the world moved on.
Yeah.
But the network I used to work for in Canada, on Vancouver Island... They had a whole radio studio complex where this was back, you know, and that time when everybody was afraid that there was going to be nuclear explosions everywhere. And I was taken to this place, and it was really weird because all the furnishings were 60s,
mm-hmm.
You know, the tile floors and the even in the kitchens that they had set up, because they set it up so that you could last a long time down there. It was kind of spooky.
Let me guess, the refrigerator and stove were either avocado or they were yellow.
Yes, yeah, you're exactly right. And the new studio had 60s vintage equipment. It was really kind of weird, but when you stop to think about it, there was real fear at that time, and that's the kind of thing I'm starting to see now. There's real fear about, okay, What does the future hold if it keeps going this direction? Of course, as Christians, we were just talking to Jan Markell of Understanding the Times. We know God is still in control, and we rest in Him. But things are getting pretty chaotic out there.
My consistent discussions with foreign policy people like Bob McGinnis and those kind of people that we interview all the time, the next war with China is not going to be missiles flying over the Pacific.
No,
it's going to be waged on Wall Street. It's going to be waged in our power sources, our computer networks. They can bring us to our knees, like you say, if everybody's hiding in a bunker, there's no command and control anymore, they don't have to fire a shot, and we're out of the game.
Yeah, exactly. Well, as I say, God is still in control, yep. And we don't doubt that for a second. And I'll tell you what, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior right now, you have a right to be very, very concerned.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And if you don't, now's the time to get right.
I mean, amen. Amen. Yeah. No time like today.
Yeah.
Hey, either one of you guys planning on taking a vacation this summer, maybe driving anywhere?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Planning it.
Well, you might want to keep an eye out, because we're finding out today that the Biden administration has decided not to buy back three million barrels of oil that it had borrowed from the strategic reserves.
I think 300 billion.
300, I'm sorry.
Yeah, 300 billion.
A lot.
it took out 50 million barrels from the reserves in 2021. It wanted to stabilize gas prices.
Yes.
For the 2022 midterms.
Yeah.
For political reasons. Mm-hmm. That's not what that's for. Mm-hmm. But now the price of gas is too high. They can't afford to put it back.
Yeah.
And so without that, you could be looking at some rising gas prices over the summer.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it locally, Chris. You may have noticed this, too. It's gone up about 20-25 cents a gallon. I was in Florida a few days ago, and I think regular down there was about $3.15 a gallon. I saw a Fox reporter outside a gas station in, Connecticut the other day? And the readings were like regular gasoline was $4.50 a gallon.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you get up to premium, it was over $5 a gallon.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And I thought, my. I mean, to fill up a car, we're now talking about $100.
Yeah. And bear in mind, too, you motorists are not just suffering under the high-priced gas that you're putting inside your personal vehicle. We're all paying for diesel, because if you're buying something from a store, that good got to that store thanks to diesel.
Mm-hmm.
Diesel is back over $4 a gallon, and the big concern here is we're not even in the summer months yet when gas traditionally does go up. So it is not out of the question that we're going to see $5 diesel averages in the not-too-distant future, and regular being back above $4.
But guys, don't worry. Electric cars. That's the answer.
Wait
a minute.
Has that imploded or what?
Where does the electricity come from, Joe? Was it the energy secretary that made that big boo-boo?
Oh, that went, she was trying to travel across the country?
Yes.
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 The electric cars broke down?
Yeah. So she was concerned that they were going to break down, so she had somebody from the Department of Energy go in a gas-powered taxpayer-funded vehicle to sit in front of a charger to save the spot for her when she arrived for the photo op. And a lady with a baby who was concerned because it was very hot outside, she couldn't charge her car. She called the cops. It was on NPR. Whoever wrote that from NPR, your last day at work was awesome.
What a disaster. I tell you what, you know, you just look at this. And if it wasn't public policy being put forward by this administration, the President of the United States, it would be laughable. But folks, you know, this is what elections are all about.
It's starting to implode, though. There's a car company called Fisker, F-I-S-K-E-R, that is exclusively electric vehicles, and they see the handwriting on the wall. They are trying to dump stock, get rid of their cars. They have slashed prices. Sunday, buy an electric car. They're about 30% off right now, just in order to just get rid of things. It's a boondoggle. That's a good word for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not against electric cars per se. You know, if I was in the market for something to tootle back and forth between work and home and to go get the groceries in town. But when you're talking about what Joe Biden is talking about, that, you know, you're going to be pretty well forced to buy electric cars. What are you going to do about these cross-country travels?
Mm-hmm.
I just think, I think the American people, it's just one of those ingredients that's going into the minds of the American people right now. This is not the road that we want to go down as a country.
Well, and to Steve's point, too, it's not just Fisker. Last month, Quartz had an article out, and this was their headline, Tesla might actually lose money this year.
Yeah.
So it's not just the companies that you might not have heard of that aren't as big, even Tesla.
If Elon's losing money, things are bad.
You got problems.
He's pretty much guaranteed to make money with whatever he does.
Yes.
Hey, can we have a moment of silence for Juan Vicente Perez Mora, a Venezuelan man who died at the age of 114. He was the world's oldest human.
Wow.
It's a record that he had actually held for a couple of years, which, you know, that's a record that you would think would turn over quite frequently. But he was just about a month shy of his 115th birthday. The oldest man, this is the oldest man title according to Guinness, the Book of World Records, goes to 112-year-old Jasburo Sonobe of Japan. He's 112.
Yeah, I love these stories because you want to study to see, you know, what was the diet. Mm-hmm. I remember George Beverly Shea, the singer for Billy Graham. Yeah. He talked about it. He reached 100.
He did.
And he's gone home, of course, to be with the Lord many years ago. But he was asked about what do you credit for your longevity? Of course, number one was his relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Number two, he found a good wife.
Yeah.
You know what number three was?
What's that?
Coffee.
Coffee, huh? I'm going to live forever. They asked Mr. Mora what his secret was.
Okay.
He said he attributed his longevity to working hard, resting on holidays, going to bed early, drinking a glass of agua ardiente, which is a locally distilled liquor every day, one glass of liquor a day.
Which we don't recommend, folks.
No, he was pickled, I guess. Loving God and always carrying him around in his heart is what he said.
Well, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. No, it goes back, you know, I know 114, 115 kind of pales to what we read in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Some of these.
Guinness wasn't around back in the days of...
No, and
Noah.
That's one of the questions I like to ask when I get to heaven is, okay, how did your body last 700 years?
Charlie Butts retired almost 10 years ago and still works 75 hours a week.
Yeah, I don't know how. I don't know if I'd want that. That's
and he drinks
time.
Coffee, so yeah. I mean, I'm just.
It's true.
There may be something to that.
The oldest living person in the world, by the way, is Maria Barinas Moreno, who's 117. The women tend to live longer than the men, so she is the oldest living person. And according to the Guinness Book World of Records, the oldest person ever was held by Jeanine Louis Calment, who lived 122 years and 164 days.
Yeah.
You know, there was a time where you might live that long and you didn't see a lot of advancements in technology. But let's say you're born in like 1875 and you live to be 100 some odd years old. You saw a lot. I mean, you saw flight.
Yes.
You saw man land on the moon. You saw a lot of stuff. But, you know, from Abram to Isaac, not a lot going on there.
Got a new plow.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, folks, it's been good to be with you today. I must remind you that Tim and Ed and JJ will be here for Trivia Friday tomorrow, reporting to you live from their retreat there. You can look forward to that. But it's been good to be with you guys today. Chris Woodward, Steve Jordahl, Matt in the chair there taking care of us. And as always, we have to go away right now to make room for more great programming here on American Family Radio. Do stay tuned. And remember, may you be blessed today, but also be a blessing to someone else. We'll see you again real soon. Bye for now.